Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.
This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
Do you love spontaneous adventures, travel tips, and stories that will inspire you to pack up and go? Well, welcome to the Winging It Travel Podcast. I'm James, your host, and each week I bring you travel tales, practical advice, and interviews with travelers from around the globe. Whether you're planning a big trip or just dreaming about one, you'll find everything from hidden gems to epic fails, because travel is not perfect, and that is what makes it beautiful. So grab your backpack and let's wing it. New episodes every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts, and on YouTube too. You can find Winging It and more fantastic travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com. The link is in the show notes. Let's go and explore the world. Hello and welcome to this week's episode. And today I thought I'd give an update on me becoming a Canadian citizen. And I want to talk you through that process and how exciting it is to be a dual nationality. Then I'm going to go to Australia and why that hit me hard. I talk a lot about the culture shock of places, and this story is a reverse of that, how somewhere amazed me. So I want to talk about that and why it's important to give somewhere maybe you're not familiar with a go. And then I'm going to end with a Winging It update. So after what seems like forever, but has actually been about 6 years, I am finally a Canadian citizen. And what does that mean? That basically means I am now able to get a passport, and this will be my second passport. Ever since I started traveling around 2012, 2013, I thought it'd be cool to get a second passport or a different nationality, because I think you should always have options. But there's one problem with that idea, is you need to commit somewhere for at least 4 to 6, 7 years. So you become a resident and then apply to become a citizen and then, of course, get your passport. But because of COVID, we got lucky with that. It made us stay, and we had to think of an alternative on our 2-year work visa, because that's 1 year in. And we had to figure out how to stay because we had jobs. We couldn't travel, which was the plan after that. So we figured a way out, applied for PR. And that process is very, very arduous. The permanent residency process is the hardest part of becoming a citizen, that's for sure. The process of applying is costly in terms of time and money. So for Canada, if you're thinking about it, Canada is one of the cheapest places in the world to do it. I think it's getting harder now since we started that process because of immigration rules, etc. But essentially for that process and that application, you need 10 years of travel history. Yep, 10 years. You would need 1 year of working experience. That might have changed now as we speak today, but that's what we needed, 1 year of working experience. And of course, 1 year into a work permit, we had that. A job that they need, that's ranked by points, that will help your application. A degree or master's, that also adds to the points. The age has to be taken into consideration, so under 35 is good. And whack all those together, you get a number. And for example, for Canada at the time, we had about 520 points. The cutoff point was about 470, 480. We're well within the threshold of getting offered the chance to apply, which we did. And you know if you're above the threshold, that when they release the next draw, you'll get offered to apply. Since then, there's been really weird things happening with the PR process in Canada. During COVID, they let everyone in terms of the pool. So when they reduced it to 76 points, they got the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to apply for PR. And because of that, they had lots of applications in process, and then they've now put points right back up into the mid-500s, so it's harder to get in now. They're still trying to work out the best process for immigration. But for us, luckily, we got in before that, and it took about 10 months to get the application in. We involved a lawyer because we got refused twice because of admin errors on the application. And once we were successful, after 10 months, we got a 5-year PR card, the same for everyone else. And to avoid any further future admin, I would advise going for the citizenship, which is on that PR card, you need 3 years out of five in Canada to apply to be a citizen. Now, if you have a 2 year work visa, you can include 1 year of that to be part of your application. So we had 3 years, including the work visa and the PR card. About 10 months later, we got the confirmation and we went to our ceremony a few weeks ago and it's all above board and signed. We got our certificate, handed our PR card in. Now we apply for the passport, which will take another 3 weeks. And there we have it, a dual citizen and passport holder. The feeling is relief, happiness, and I think probably elation, really, to have a second passport. It's always been an aim of mine ever since I've started traveling. So if the UK goes horrendously downhill, like if reform get in, for example, then we can escape to Canada and vice versa as well. Anyone who's looking to apply for Canada PR or citizenship, a couple of things of note. If you travel a lot, get a spreadsheet out, write down the dates in and out of that country, because you do technically have to prove it if they ask, and that'll be by passport stamps. I guess technically they can go probably by social media as well. So make sure you note down everywhere you go, what date you went in and what date you left. So for Europe, because you don't get stamps when you travel within the EU, just make sure you put a date for when you entered the EU and when you exited the EU. Money. I think it costs around $2,500 to get the PR done. Then for citizenship, an extra $600 on top. And then to get the passport again, it's another probably about $200. So you're kind of thinking roughly around $3,300 to $3,500, especially if you include a lawyer like we did. So it's probably approaching $4,000, something like that. And I think for long term, what does this mean? I think we like the idea of coming back to Canada to live for half a year at a time, maybe. Could be East Canada, like Nova Scotia. That'd be a bit of a dream. And if, like I say, I just feel like I need a break, it's nice to know you can come somewhere as a resident and a citizen and still get all the benefits of that and not having to be here full time. So that's pretty cool as well. Long term, do I think we'll stay in Canada? Not sure. For travel, I think Europe is the place to be, but we'll see what happens. So that is very exciting, becoming a Canadian citizen, two passport, dual nationality couple. And I think that's a very exclusive club. Cheers. Very lucky to have that. Now, I talk about culture shock a lot on my podcast. A long time ago, went into the solo episodes discussing why I travel. And I want to talk about why Australia hit me hard when I first went. Because when I went to Australia to watch the cricket in 2010, 2011, it was the first time I was out of Europe. Now, I know Europe has a lot of different countries and cultures within it, but when you grow up in Europe, I don't think you see them as that extreme. They're just on the doorstep, not too far away, easy to get to, and lucky being from England, and mostly speak English when you're on your holidays. So it doesn't feel like too much of a challenge. Now, Australia, don't get me wrong, is fairly similar to the UK. It speaks English, got similar culture. But out of Europe and traveling for a day to get there, I was hit straight away in Perth Airport by how clean the place was, the fresh air, how hot it was, the smell. And ultimately, when we're there, the beaches, the accent, the warm water, the Australian people were really nice. And it just hit me about, imagine living here for a year. And as I've said many times before the podcast, we spoke to a person at the Perth test match against Australia who told basically me and a few others to get a work visa and come and check it out. I did not even know what work visa was really at that point. So I took some notes down and promised myself to research that when I got back. I think for Australia during that time, that was during Christmas, a lot of funny stories happened. So I have a lot of nostalgia back to Australia, especially Melbourne and Perth. Stuff like Christmas Day was a bit of a chaotic session. When you're there as a tourist, you don't have to do the family thing. So you dip into the pub and we're in PJ O'Brien's probably from early afternoon, Christmas Eve, all the way through to Christmas Day into the early hours and up next day at 8 a.m. surviving, trying to make the test match, which starts at 10:30 a.m. And ultimately, for England fans, one of the biggest days of the English cricketing history in Australia as we beat Australia on their own turf. So a lot of funny stories, some good sporting events, felt more like freedom away from my uni course, away from family back home. Also London. London's a bit all-consuming. So I felt like this is a proper holiday, unleashed. And I was like, I want more of that. So I think for the first time, I realised there's a bigger world out there that needs to be explored. And Australia is a huge country. and we only dipped into Perth and Melbourne, but the contrast between those chalk and cheese, Melbourne, cosmopolitan city, very similar a little bit to London, quite busy, has a river running through it, a big sporting event, lots of people. Compare that to Perth, where it's like epic beaches, one after the other, spaced out, you get a car, you drive around, you use the public transport system, great beer, the smell of sun cream everywhere, hot weather. It's great to be in some vitamin C for once, because I came from London where it's snowing. So that kind of played a part as well, I reckon. Weird, back in those days, I had no money. I paid for the trip on a couple of credit cards and used my student loan as my money to go with. But as soon as I arrived back into London after that Australia trip, I promised myself to save to go back to Australia and do some more traveling, and also to get a job while studying. So straight away, I got a job at a college and I saved every bit of money I could between then and 2 years later when I travelled in 2013. And I think I knew it was a good trip because when I arrived back into London, I know holiday blues is a thing, but this was like a holiday depression. I did not want to be back in London in the cold, in the snow, practicing my guitar every day, walking to college, performing, getting marked. And what's a bit devastating really is I had 2 more years of that. So that was like, oh, but I stuck at the uni course. I thought at least get that done. But it worked well because I needed to save money to go anyway. So I stayed for another 2 years, working my ass off in both my job and kind of planning my trip, researching, getting my visa sorted, passport sorted, everything sorted. And then I kind of fed away my degree, really. I didn't really give a shit anymore, but finished the music college degree as competently as possible without being really interested in it. Lesson learned from there is, on a whim, I spoke to a few friends at home. They're like, yeah, come along, it'll be a laugh. And just for some reason, I couldn't tell you why, maybe a bit of FOMO. I was like, oh, I like cricket. I know it's going to be hot in Australia. I know nothing about the place. Going with friends, long haul flight, a proper holiday, 2.5 weeks. Let's go for it. So I rang up the travel consultant, booked my flights, as I said, on the credit card. Got everything sorted for going out there. I couldn't believe it, really. When I booked it and I was like, oh, I'm going to Australia. Didn't really sink in until I got on the flight and realised that the first part of the flight is about 18 hours. But what a trip, and what a bit of nostalgia to think back to. And that really kicked off my travels in 2013 and also staying in Australia to work and live for a year, which then led on to other work visas like New Zealand and Canada. So if you're thinking about maybe giving it a go, why not? What's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen is you don't like it and you fly back straight away. It's only a day away in terms of a plane. Yeah, you're going to take a hit money-wise, getting that long haul flight back. But don't worry, you can always make more money in the future. And to finish, why I do love Australia is because I just love the thought in certain places all year round, like Perth, you'll get mild to hot weather all year round. The beach is an option. It's relaxing. You get a car, big roads, not too busy. Loads of beaches to choose from. You can go southwest of the wine region. Very laid back, good paying jobs. Very safe and secure. And I know you're far away from anywhere, but you don't need to go anywhere when you got all that on your doorstep. And I can see why so many people travel and live and then ultimately decide to move to Australia, because for me, it's a bit of a dream place. And if you're thinking about it, go and get that work permit and try it out. It's never too late. That's my advice. Now, winging it. Future, what's going on? So I've been racking my brains a little bit about what to do with the weekly episodes. So I kind of committed really going forward to do 2 immersive episodes a month on my travels. Now, I've exhausted a lot of those stories by talking about them, but what about collecting all the sounds and making it more of a cinematic experience, a bit like the El Salvador series? And I got a whole trip from 2023 and of course last year's as well to do that. I mean, I've got loads of crappy videos that I couldn't use for YouTube, but it all got sound, right? Not too much live reaction there, but a lot of sounds to collect, put together, and describe to you what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling at that time. So there's an endless amount of content for me going forward for the next couple of years, and I really want to lean into that sort of sound immersive cinematic experience to try and take you along the ride for anywhere in particular. So I'm going to concentrate on real specific places, really. So the first one since this episode is going to be released is going to be Langtang Valley, for sure. Collected all the sounds for that into a file and get that going. Going to do Tofino, that's a recent trip. And then I'm going to delve into a bit of Europe, a bit of city action, and some Middle East as well. Got lots of sounds from different places we went to there. So I think it's going to be a pretty cool ride for those immersive episodes. I think personally they're my favourite, but they take the longest to produce. But I'm the most proudest of them going forward. And I probably will have one or two, but mostly one guest slot a month. I've done 180 guests so far. So I think I've done a lot, and there's a lot in the bank there to check out. So I'm not giving up guests. It's just going to be less of them. I think definitely starting in 2026, it's probably going to be one a month. So maybe 12. I might hit some odd extra ones here and there. So that might be like 15 to 16 a year. And then the other slot of the month is going to be a solo episode for sure, like this one, just to keep you updated. Any stories that I just want to tell myself and for you to get to know me. I think this review of the podcast comes from a place of, what do I want to be known as in terms of winging it? What type of podcast is it? So far, I think people probably know it for the conversations, which are great. But I've traveled so much that I would like to share some sounds, some music, and some local stuff in a real cool, immersive experience. So I think I'm going to lean into that niche going forward, a bit like the Armchair Explorer, for example, or Travel Goals podcast. That's a good way to showcase a travel destination that's audio only and not video. From now on, I'll collect sounds as I normally do of every trip. I'll try and get some live reaction, and I'll chuck in some live interviews there as well if I get to interview some people, and bring all that together to make it even better going forward and make it more of a wholesome experience and more refined as I go to collect sounds based on what I want to showcase for you for that trip in particular. I think next year, when I start to showcase maybe travels from later this year, hopefully it's going to be a nice refined product going forward. And I'm pretty excited to showcase that for you guys, but also anyone who's dipping in for the first time. That's pretty exciting to me. Let me know what you think of where I see winging it in the future for the second half of 2025, going into 2026. To finish, I've got some guests all the way up until end of September at the minute. So I might start pitching a few for later in the year before I start moving and transitioning into the new format of only having one a month. Really excited about that. And then I've got some trips later in the year as well. Not sure where yet, but I'm thinking along the lines of UK alongside either Albania, Georgia, Egypt or Finland. One of those four, I haven't decided yet. And then later in the year, it's got to be Bangkok, Bhutan, hopefully, and then Australia to watch some more cricket. So we'll see how that goes as well. Looking forward to showcasing all of that on the podcast. And thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave a nice 5-star review. That's the best way. And please share the podcast word of mouth. I also think that's one of the best ways to market the podcast to different audiences. So tell your friends. Tell them to check in. And I don't really mind where you start, really, but maybe start from the newer ones. They're probably a bit better in terms of production, but obviously there's loads of great content from the guests early on as well. So whatever you think is best, and I'll see you in the next episode, which will be Dave Seminara coming back onto the podcast to talk about his trip to Suriname, which is a country that's on my list and a country I don't know too much about. Well, I do now because I've recorded the episode, but next week you'll hear it as well and know more about the country. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you then. Cheers. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast episode today. If you've been inspired by today's chat and want to book some travel, if you head to the show notes, you'll see some affiliate links below, which help support this podcast. You'll find Skyscanner to book your flight. You'll find booking.com to book that accommodation. Want to stay in a super cool hostel? You'll see Hostelworld down there too. You'll find Revolut to get your travel card sorted. Click the GigSky link to get your eSIM ready for your trip. And more importantly, you'll find Safety Wing Insurance to get that travel insurance for your trip. There are many more to check out. So when you click that link and book your product, a small commission goes towards me and the Wingin' It Travel Podcast. Thank you in advance and enjoy your travels. Hey, yeah, just a quick one before we crack on with the episode. This episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. From choosing the right travel card to dodging hidden fees, Smart Travel helps your money go further. Literally. They cover all things travel finance, like the smartest way to book flights without playing the guess the cheapest day strategy, how to avoid paying for upgrades that you won't use, and when to book peak season trips without paying peak season prices. So travel smarter, spend less, with help from NerdWallet. Follow Smart Travel wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get back to the show.